Welcome to As It Is, a 30-minute program designed for English learners. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English. We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world.
Christopher Jones-Cruz reports on a large technology company that has brought a lawsuit against the United States government.
Computer technology company Microsoft has brought a legal case against the U.S. government. Microsoft says a law that permits agencies to demand to read emails or online files without their owner's knowledge violates the Constitution. The Reuters news agency reports that the company believes the government's actions violate the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution. That amendment bans unreasonable searches and seizures. Reuters also reports that Microsoft says the law violates the company's First Amendment right to free speech. The law in question is the Electronics Communications Privacy Act of 1986. It permits government investigators to examine emails and other electronic files without telling the owners of the documents. In most cases, a judge must give the investigators permission to do so. Microsoft says the law was written before distant computer data storage centers, known as the cloud, were developed. Microsoft is a major operator of cloud storage for computers. It says the government is using the new technology to increase its power. The Justice Department says it is studying the lawsuit. Daniel Rosenthal is a former U.S. attorney. He told the Associated Press news agency that forcing the government to tell the owners of files that they are being examined could hurt law enforcement efforts. He says doing so would let child molesters, domestic abusers, violent criminals, and terrorists know that their emails and files are being read. Microsoft Vice President and General Counsel Brad Smith said he understands that there are times when it is important not to tell people their files are being read. But he said people should not lose their rights just because they are storing their information in the cloud. Microsoft says it received more than 5,600 federal demands for access to files between September 2014 and March 2015. It says more than half of the requests did not permit the company to tell the owners of the files that their information was being read. I'm Christopher Jones-Cruz.
China's economic growth slowed during the first 3 months of 2016. Chinese state media reported Friday that the nation's gross domestic product grew at 6.7% between January and March. GDP represents the value of all goods and services produced within a country. China is the world's second largest economy. The 6.7 growth rate was the slowest there since the start of the world financial crisis 7 years ago. In the final 3 months of 2015, the Chinese economy grew 6.8%. The National Bureau of Statistics said the economy is still within range of the central government's expectations. The official full-year target for economic growth is 6.5% to 7%. China's GDP has averaged nearly 10% a year since 1978, according to the World Bank. The economy has slowed over the past 5 years. The government has reacted by cutting interest rates and increasing spending on public works projects. The government is also trying to get the public to buy more Chinese-made goods and services. Economists told the Associated Press a construction slump and weak exports are reasons for the slower growth economy. Economic forecasters expect China's economy to grow at a slower than normal rate this year, according to the Associated Press. The news agency said an expansion of just 6.3% is expected in 2016. I'm Jim Dresbach.
A German comedian may face up to 3 years in prison for insulting the president of Turkey. Pete Musto has more.
German Chancellor Angela Merkel said Friday that her government will accept a request for legal action against comedian Jan Böhmermann. Böhmermann, 35, is the host of the popular German television show Neo Magazin Royale. During part of the March 31st episode of the show, he stood in front of a Turkish flag and a picture of Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan. Böhmermann then read a poem full of profanity and criticism of Erdogan. The poem included sexual comments and suggestions that Erdogan mistreated Christian and Kurdish minorities. The comedian also called the Turkish president a professional idiot. Böhmermann said he was trying to be offensive. ZDF is a government-owned public television broadcaster based in Mainz, Germany. ZDF broadcasts the show Neo Magazin Royale. A day after Böhmermann read the poem, the broadcaster took the episode offline. ZDF then brought the episode back without the poem 24 hours later. But this did not stop the Turkish president from taking action. The Turkish embassy filed a complaint against Böhmermann a week after the original broadcast. This complaint is based on a German law that prevents its citizens from insulting foreign leaders. The law first appeared in the Prussian Legal Code of 1794. German lawyer Holger Hein studied the law in law school. He told Radio Free Europe that the law does not fit today's society. Between 1997 and 2000, there were no more than two convictions annually, he said. The United States tried to make a complaint against a shop owner in the city of Marburg in 2003. The shop owner called then-President George W. Bush a state terrorist. But the German government decided this did not go against the law. Michael Hubertus von Sprenger is the lawyer in Germany representing the Turkish president. He said he is prepared to take this complaint to the highest court. The conflict over the insulting poem puts Merkel in a difficult position. Millions of migrants have fled from conflict in Syria, Iraq, and other Middle Eastern and North African countries. Merkel and Erdogan agreed in March that Turkey would stop the flow of migrants across the Aegean Sea and into Europe. The agreement also states any migrants who cross the sea and enter Greece after April 4th will be sent back. Erdogan has a history of reacting strongly to criticism. Since April 2014, when he became president, 1,845 court cases have been made against individuals insulting him. Two of the top journalists at the Turkish newspaper Cumhuriyet are on trial for espionage. Police arrested the two after they published a video in May 2015. The newspaper claimed the video was evidence of the government bringing weapons to Syrian rebels in 2014. Also, the government took control of Turkey's biggest newspaper, Today's Zaman, in March. The government claims the newspaper might have provided money illegally to Fethullah Gulen. Based in the United States, Gulen is an Islamic religious leader and a major critic of Erdogan. Erdogan claims Gulen is trying to bring down his government. Bomerman has not yet gone to trial, but von Sprenger told ZDF he does not think Bomerman will receive a very strong punishment. It will be a punishment that is necessary to get him back on the right path, to produce satire and not gross insults, he said. I'm Pete Musto.
You are listening to As It Is from VOA, Learning English.
Pope Francis's call for a more welcoming Catholic Church is similar with the views of many American Catholics. Last year, the Pew Research Center questioned Catholics and found support for changes offered in the Pope's letter, The Joy of Love. Many Catholic Americans wanted him to take more steps, according to the report. In his message to the Catholic Church's 1.2 billion members, Francis called on clergy to accept people who were divorced and remarried, as well as unmarried people living together in a romantic relationship. He said people who already have children may use their own consciences to limit the number of their children. That was seen as a change, at least in tone, from the church's ban on artificial birth control. But he continued the church's opposition to abortion and same-sex marriage. Thomas Groom is a professor of theology at Boston College in Massachusetts. He said the Pope did not change basic church positions on marriage and family, but rather called for more understanding of people who have different views. Pope Francis says, "We have been called to form consciences, not to replace them," Groom said. In other words, the church can't take other people's consciences, They have their own conscience, and that has to be respected. Deborah Rose Milivec is executive director of Future Church. The organization has been calling for a more welcoming Catholic Church. Rose Milivec sees the Pope's message as critical of Catholic bishops who are building walls to keep out sinners. Still, she said, the Pope's message needs more development. Marion Duddy Burke is executive director of Dignity USA, a Catholic group that supports gay and lesbian rights. She is disappointed the Pope said same-sex marriage is not part of God's plan for marriage and family. She said, we had hoped for much more. The Pew Research Study studied the views of U.S. Catholics last year. It found 3 out of 4 Catholics believe the Church should allow couples to use birth control. Pew said 84% of American Catholics believe it is acceptable for unmarried parents who live together to bring up children. 6 in 10 say the Church should allow divorced and remarried Catholics without an annulment to attend religious service known as a Mass. An annulment is a ruling by a Catholic court that a marriage was never really valid. The Pope said in his message that Catholic clergy should not stop people who are divorced or in other irregular situations from attending Mass. If they show love for each other and take care of their children, divorced couples should be allowed to marry in the Church, Pope Francis said. Pew said nearly half of American Catholics believe the Church should recognize the marriages of same-sex couples. The Pope rejected that view, though he repeated his call to treat gays with respect and without discrimination. 6 in 10 say they agree with Catholic Church policy repeated by Francis that abortion is a sin, according to the Pew survey. But only 3 in 10 consider opposition to abortion an important part of being a Catholic. That view differs from the 3 U.S. Republican presidential candidates. They all promise new efforts to ban or at least limit abortion. I'm Bruce Alpert.
Next, Ann Ball has this week's Science in the News report.
It is one of the oldest questions ever asked. Are we alone, or is there other life out in the universe? Last week, an international team of scientists and businessmen launched a project they hope can answer that question. They announced plans for a huge space exploration program. Its goal is to find alien life in space. The team includes British physicist Stephen Hawking, Russian-born billionaire Yuri Milner, and American Mark Zuckerberg, who founded Facebook. Their project is called Breakthrough Space Shot. It will develop and build thousands of robotic vehicles that can speed through space. Their goal is to explore the nearest star system, Alpha Centauri. It is about 40 trillion kilometers, or 4.37 light years, away from Earth. Once launched, a spacecraft would have to travel 20 years to get there. The way they will make it happen is like something from a science fiction story. Crews on Earth would use powerful laser beams to power extremely small vehicles through space. These spacecraft would travel much farther than any other spacecraft built to date. Estimates say the project will cost from $5 to $10 billion. Yuri Milner is giving the project $100 million to get started. Last week, Milner showed a model of the spacecraft to reporters in New York.
This is the Starship, a gram-scale wafer containing cameras, photon thrusters, power supply, and navigation and communication equipment.
The Starship is a computer chip about the size of a large postage stamp. Each one will cost no more than an iPhone. The chip will have a light sail, very thin material that can open in space and move the spacecraft forward. Together, the chip and the sail are called nanocraft. The team plans to launch a mothership, which would then be put in Earth's orbit. The mothership would release thousands of the nanocraft. Their light sails would open, and crews on Earth would fire laser beams on the light sails. That would push the nanocraft. They will travel at about 20% of light speed. Today's fastest spacecraft would take about 30,000 years to reach the Alpha Centauri system. But once this new nanocraft technology is ready, supporters say, it can shorten that time to just 20 years. Stephen Hawking said, the distance between Alpha Centauri and Earth can be crossed within a generation. The British scientist speaks through a computerized voice.
I believe what makes us unique is transcending our limits. Gravity pins us to the ground, but I just flew to America.
Hawking added, today we commit to the next great leap in the cosmos, because we are human and our nature is to fly. Other scientists have signed on for the project. Freeman Dyson is with the Princeton Institute for Advanced Study. He thinks scientists might find something interesting before the nanocraft reach Alpha Centauri.
The space between here and Alpha Centauri is not empty, that it's not just a huge void which you have to cross in order to reach something interesting on the other side. On the contrary, there are thousands of objects in between.
Dyson believes that life is more likely to be found on an asteroid or space rock rather than a planet. The project is just now taking shape. The first step is about 20 years for research and development. There are still many details to work out about how this project will work technically. Next would come the launch of the mothership and the release of the nanocraft. It would be another 20 years to get to Alpha Centauri. Then people on Earth will have to be patient. It will take at least 4 more years for any of the information collected to reach Earth. Avi Loeb teaches astronomy at Harvard University. He explained the group wants to interest young people in the project. He said, our goal is to get people all over the world involved, especially young people that will be around when we get there. Future improvements in technology could change the timeline and help speed up the project. But for now, a person born this year may be in his or her 50s when those nanocraft reach their target. I'm Ann Ball. Thank you.
The novelist Ernest Hemingway wrote 47 possible endings to his book, A Farewell to Arms. 8 of them are part of a new show at the John F. Kennedy Presidential Library in Boston, Massachusetts. The ending that Hemingway finally chose is also there to see. Patrick Hemingway is the writer's only surviving child. This week, he visited the library show. He said the exhibit shows how hard his father worked. He said he always felt responsible for being where the action was. A lot of writers just retire to their rooms and describe their childhood. He didn't do that. The Kennedy Library holds the world's largest collection of documents, photographs, and personal belongings of the famous writer. Library curator Stacy Bredhoff describes the Hemingway collection as one of the library's greatest treasures. The show is called Ernest Hemingway: Between Two Wars. It includes material rarely shown in public. The Morgan Library and Museum in New York City also presented the show last autumn. Hemingway and Kennedy never met. However, Kennedy liked the writer's work. Kennedy wrote to Hemingway for permission to use the novelist's expression, grace under pressure. Hemingway was too sick to accept an invitation to Kennedy's inauguration in January of 1961. The writer killed himself later that year. The show also includes Hemingway's first short story. It was published in 1917 in a high school magazine. Visitors can also see letters between Hemingway and other writers of the time. Patrick Hemingway praised the show. "I am very pleased that they were able to put together in my lifetime a very comprehensive picture of a person who really represented very well the first half of the 20th century," he said. Ernest Hemingway fled Finca Vigía, his home in Cuba, at the time of Fidel Castro's revolution. The writer left much of all he owned on the island. After the writer died, President Kennedy sought Cuba's permission for Hemingway's wife, Mary, to visit the island and collect the belongings. A fishing boat transported the property from Havana to Florida. Mary Hemingway established a relationship with Kennedy's wife, Jacqueline, after President Kennedy was murdered in 1963. They later decided to keep the writer's Cuba collection at the Kennedy Library. Patrick Hemingway now lives in Bozeman, Montana. But he is represented in the show. A photograph shows him and his father on a deep-sea fishing boat. Fishing was one of Ernest Hemingway's great loves. He worked very hard in the morning, but he never worked in the afternoon. He had a great life, Patrick Hemingway said of his father. I'm Katie Weaver.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.